I'm so grateful for everything that's happened to me in my life, and I'm grateful for being able to help other people build better lives that they enjoy as well.
From MoneyFit by DRS, it's the MoneyFit Show, your weekly podcast about real difficult money stories, overcoming financial obstacles, and tips for building healthy money habits. I'm Todd Christensen, host of the MoneyFit Show podcast, and today I speak with a life coach who had plenty of life lessons and experiences early on that she now uses to help others. What's your most recent life lesson learned? Houston, we have a problem. If you hang out with Nikki Conrad Eberlin for too long, she'll brainwash you into believing you can do anything. She is, after all, a life coach with a passion for helping individuals reach their goals through building habits of discipline, consistency, focus, and accountability. The results-oriented coaching she does through her business, Unleashed Leadership, provides individuals the commitment to selfishly focus on themselves during their sessions. Nikki helps her overwhelmed clients by keeping things simple to create more results, not make things more complicated. Amen to that. Nikki Conrad Eberlin, welcome to the MoneyFit Show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
I'm thrilled to have you here, honored, and look forward to this conversation. To begin with, I always like to introduce to the listeners, ask a question, get a little more about you, your as a person. This was a question I think you're the first one I'm going to ask of, but I think I already love it. It's, if you could go back to elementary, middle, or high school, which teacher, coach, or staff member would you thank and why?
So, yeah, that's a great question. I can't remember her name, but it was my business teacher. I think it was my sophomore year of high school. Mm-hmm. And she played a pretty instrumental role with me in my finances, which mm-hmm. we're going to get into. So I think there's a great connection there, but I would thank her. She set me up for a really good life.
Nice. That was right about time you were 16, right?
Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, let me ask you a few kind of feel general questions, but I think we'll get into this idea of where you were headed financially, where you've gone, where you are. But when you were younger, let's say before high school or in early high school, who were you? I mean, how do you think of that younger Nikki?
Younger Nikki was definitely, I would say, the first word that comes to my mind is ignorant, but like naive? Not knowing where the future was going, but still very open. Okay. I feel like I was a natural problem solver. So like, I always kind of went through those high school years of kind of figuring out, okay, how do I solve this? What do I do for that? Yeah. How do I make this time better? So that's really, I would feel like, who I was back then.
What was life like? What were you, middle school, high school? I don't know why some people want to go back there anyway, but what were some of the things that you were facing that maybe not everybody faces, but probably more than we care to admit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say high school was a very pivotal time for me as a person, which has like affected the entire trajectory of my life. Mm-hmm. I had alcoholism in the family, so I had to become very self-sufficient with my money at a very young age. Mm-hmm. So during high school, I did have multiple jobs to pay money for my bills and that sort of thing. And this is kind of like where my business teacher comes into play, because my very first job was actually at my high school. There was a local credit union there mm-hmm. that had a student run branch inside of the high school. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of that was to help educate students about finances. You know, they could open a small savings account and like go to school and make a deposit while they were there. Mm-hmm. And they were open, you know, like select hours through like lunchtime or maybe like 20 minutes before school.
Right.
And that was my first job. And actually my business teacher was the one who recommended me to that position because it was referral based only.
Huh. I've heard of these. I know we have one at Summit local high schools near our Boise office. And I always thought that was a really good idea, that I never thought of it as being something as critical. It sounds like what you kind of needed at that point.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I didn't know I needed it, but it ended up working out beautifully for me because it provided me so many opportunities, you know, of course, to make a little extra cash while I was at school. Mm-hmm. That's a benefit. Yeah. But as well, like, you know, learning the basics of finances, really understanding those things and like opening up other possibilities further down the road for me, working at their larger offices or larger branches.
Oh, very cool. You mentioned you had to pay bills. I mean, at 16, did you have any bills that normal 16-year-olds would not have? Or is it just kind of the weekend type stuff?
No, I would say the standard bill. So like a big thing for me was I saved up my money and bought my first car,
okay.
Which was like, I think it was between like $3,000 and $5,000. So, you know, as a 16-year-old, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it would be. Wow.
Yeah. So I bought a car, you know, took care of the typical things like groceries, insurance, phone, that sort of things. One passion I did have, so it wasn't just all for bills. I rode horses when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that kind of fueled my fire. So in order for me to continue to ride, and do all the things that I loved, you know, horses are expensive sport. So yeah. that was my motivation to also work so I could continue to do some of the things that I enjoyed like that.
Now, was this money, that wasn't all coming from your part-time in school branch job, right?
Correct. Yeah. So, you know, I had three jobs during high school. So I had that part-time branch position.
Mm-hmm.
At nights, I actually worked at Chick-fil-A, mm-hmm. which is a wonderful entry-level job for any young adults.
It's almost like it should be a requirement for teenagers to work in some sort of fast food restaurant.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then my third job was I ended up working at the horse barn that I rode at.
Yeah.
So I did some things around there with feeding horses, doing all that kind of stuff to help pay down some of the costs for doing things like that.
Yeah. So you're pretty much self-sufficient, age 16, which... it seems pretty impressive. Of course, not necessarily by choice. You graduate with three jobs and you still graduate from high school.
Yep.
What comes next after that?
Yeah. After that, I decided to take a full-time position at the credit union. So uh-huh. This is where it kind of opened up. They had a teller position there. So I took a full-time position there and went to community college part-time for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to continue to still support myself and go to school.
Right. And did you finish up your college there at the community college, or did you transfer as well to another school?
Yeah. So I ended up finishing the 2 years there, and then I transferred to a college to finish up and get, I actually got two bachelor's degrees with them. So basically my thought process there was, let me get the basic courses done at community college while I worked full time so I mm-hmm. could pay for that.
Good idea.
But then also save up money so I could then go ahead and leave my hometown to go to college and go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was doing that community college stuff, I was also saving up to leave and go to school somewhere else. And when I knew when I went to school somewhere else, it was going to be different because I really wanted to spend time focusing on like my studies and taking that seriously. Mm-hmm. So my goal was to not have to work for a year or two while I finished that. And of course, you know, that's during the school year. During any type of break, I would always pick up work to, you know, help things out. But I really wanted to spend time focusing on learning and educating myself for the future.
Nice. How successful were you at graduating debt-free?
I was not successful.
Actually, that's a terrible word. I shouldn't say that. How? Because it's, you know, 55%. I was reading of college grads with a bachelor's have some sort of college loan debt. So it's not mm-hmm. that you weren't unsuccessful, but you okay. So you did end up getting taking out some student loans.
Yeah, I did end up having student debt when I graduated. That's still with me.
Like a very faithful companion.
Yep. It's always there.
But had you, a lot of college students will also graduate with credit card debt. What was your decision there or mindset?
Yeah. So that was actually something I didn't graduate with. So when I worked at the credit union, I learned a lot of the tools that I used on myself and to like build these habits or these financial habits. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I saw a lot of people make mistakes on that kind of scared me a little bit, I'm not going to lie, is credit card debt. Yeah. So I knew I had a pretty clear boundary of like when I was 18, like I didn't want credit card debt. And I got a credit card, but it was only a $500 limit. Like, you know, just enough so I could get a credit card and start to build my credit report, because that was something that was really important to me, especially being self-sufficient. I needed to rely on those types of things if I ever had to take out a car loan or something like that.
Yeah.
So I ended up getting a $500 credit card, but to this day, I have never increased that limit. Huh. And I'm 100% okay with that because it's taught me to use the money that I have versus using a credit card.
Nice. Yeah, there's so you've not carried balance. You haven't carried, I mean, $500, there's not much room to carry balance anyway.
But exactly.
There's a thought out there, or there's an expression out there that your credit is basically, if you have a credit score, it means you love debt. That's clearly not true, but I mean, you knew that from an early stage, apparently.
Yeah. I wouldn't necessarily mean that you love debt, but I feel like sometimes there's necessary parts of your life. For example, sometimes student loans mm-hmm. to help you, you know, better yourself in certain cases.
Yeah. Your student loan, your college degree helped you. I mean, it's not going to increase your net worth, but you graduate from college and typically I'd often get a job, right? What came next? Were things smooth sailing at that point? I mean, you'd made it through self-sufficiently made it through high school. You made it through college with no credit card debt and not a ton of student loan debt, but some student loan debt. Mm-hmm. Life was smooth sailing after that, right?
Yeah. Depends on which way you look at it, of course. So
while you're going through it, whatever comes after college, what were some of the challenges you ended up facing still when you know life should be such a fairy tale, you think, with the degree in hand?
Yeah. So I was very grateful when I graduated from college. You know, the credit union that I worked at before still welcomed me on board. Mm-hmm. So that was awesome to know that I had a place to go back to. Yeah, and when I continued to work there for the next, let's see if I can do quick math, 8 years and worked up, you know, up the ladder. Yeah. I started getting promotions and all that, which was excellent. I loved all the experience, and spreading my knowledge with everybody else. But, you know, as you, you know, in those 20s, that's such a pivotal time, you know, you want to think about if you found somebody, getting married, potentially having kids, getting a house, your car breaks down, or you get into an accident. Like one random night I hit a deer and my car was totaled. I was perfectly fine, but that meant another car loan, you know? So those types of things happened. And I would say, you know, unexpected medical bills, those things happened, and that changes your dynamic with your budgeting and like how you see your finances. So I would say those were some bigger quote unquote struggles than what I had before. Because, you know, there are there are larger sums of money, and that requires more planning rather than just like thinking about, okay, how can I get my next meal, or how can I pay for my next tank of gas that you do when you're 18 years old? Right.
Was there, I mean, maybe it was one that you mentioned, but do you recall a personal finance decision that you were facing that you didn't want to have to make, or that was something that you struggled with for a while?
I wouldn't say I had a massive decision that I struggled with, but I would say one thing that I did realize, I would say a couple years after college, was really analyzing that student loan debt and really realizing how the interest rates were, how much. Because when you go to college, you think about like just your first year, your first semester, and then you like they start to add up slowly, but and slowly. So a couple years later, after I graduated, I'm like, gosh, this is really like a lot of debt for going to school. And you know, the interest rates, some of the interest rates are all, you know, variable between like 3% and 7%, which is still not horrible, but for larger amounts of debt, you know, that 7% interest rate can really add up. And, you know, the payment terms were just a little bit weird, or just a little bit too much to handle with all those unnecessary, but, those unexpected things that came up. So, I would say that was one thing I kind of looked back at, and I wouldn't have traded my college experience for the world. I think it was one of the best opportunities I had, had a lot of good experiences, made a lot of good friends, but it made me realize the amount of money that I was spending to get a college degree and how that impacted me now and, you know, 10 years down the road.
Looking at that from kind of an investor perspective, does that make you want to, does that motivate you to make more of your career, knowing that, hey, I sunk or I put this much money into my career, I want to do something with it?
Yeah, definitely. I would totally say that that kind of motivated me, like, let me make sure I get my money's worth, you know?
So don't want to waste it.
Exactly. So that does motivate me. I think like for me, I know that those things will get paid off, and that's perfectly okay to me. That timing will come and I'm making those steps to do so. But like, that's harder at the beginning. Like it's harder to start paying those loans when you're younger and you're not making as much as you would maybe 10 years down the road.
How did you, when you wanted to learn more about this, you were working at the credit union. Did you have access to somebody who could teach you about that? Or did you just go online and or go to the creditor's website and just learn more?
I would say it was a mixture. I definitely would just Google and read certain news articles or things like that to kind of educate myself a little bit more. And then I naturally love to learn. So I was really curious. So like my boss was the one that trained me and taught me all these things. Like if there was a slow day at work, I would just like grab brochures in our lobby and like start reading those. So like it educated me, but it also prepared me to speak to other people. And the same thing with other stuff like credit reports. You know, I wanted to grow. I wanted to get promoted from a teller to maybe a loan officer. So I would take educational material we had about credit reports and start learning about that. And like, you know, kind of educating myself for my own knowledge, but also to help me get a promotion. Yeah. So it kind of worked out. It favored me in both ways.
Yeah. Well, that's good. They had those doors open to you. At some point, you start thinking that that there's another calling for you in life, that you want to start or open your own business of some sort, right?
Yeah. So the last position that I had was actually a training manager position. Over the time, of course, I practically worked every position in that credit union, mm-hmm. In the retail side, of course. And then I got this training manager position, and then I was doing new employee onboarding for all these people now that are coming in for that basic teller position where I first started, mm-hmm. or for a loan officer. And I really enjoyed that aspect of like teaching and developing them.
Yeah.
And that's where I realized I had that passion. Naturally, I had it before, but it wasn't very like conscious to me. Like I wasn't quite aware of it until I got into that role. Mm-hmm. And I loved it, but I wanted to make an impact more than just in a corporate setting. I wanted to make an impact in people's lives, right? Because these people that were coming in, let's just say for an entry-level position as a teller, they were right out of high school or they just graduated from college. So they didn't have a lot of professional skills that you needed. Mm-hmm. And if there were things going on in their personal life, they were bleeding into their professional life or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So I was aware of that when it came to like new employees or any type of employees. And I really wanted to start focusing on that personal aspect with, you know, money, time management, emotional health. Everybody was talking about how they were stressed all the time, you know, and I wanted to work on that with them. Yeah. So yeah, that's where I kind of discovered life coaching. And I realized like, I can still help people in these capacities. I can still do what I love with teaching, just in a more personal way.
Yeah. So was it, a lot of people think of, oh, if I were the owner of this company, and they think of all the things you could do, you know, mandates and so forth. What was your experience setting up your own business? Was it all, roses and easy going, or what are some of the feelings that you experienced as you were doing that?
Yeah, it was a roller coaster, that's for sure. Yeah. But I would say it was fun. And I knew that I was doing the right thing because I was having fun with it. But that doesn't mean it was easy. So of course, you know, taking on our personal finances is completely different than business finances. Mm-hmm. And I quickly realized that I can't do everything by myself. So that was where I had to switch into a new perspective of with money as a business owner, and realizing that I had to let go of money to have other people help me to get to like see the bigger picture, to grow those types of things. And that was very scary to me because I've kind of always been in that hoarder or scarcity mentality when it came to money, because I had to save it to pay for all my bills. Mm-hmm. And now the money wasn't just going to me. It was going to this business that I hoped to grow. You know, there's still that uncertainty where a business may not work out. So yeah, it was, my money was going there and to personal things. So that was weird for me to get used to.
Yeah. All right. This idea of scarcity versus the abundance mentality, that is something that I believe you work with your clients, right?
Yeah.
What are some signs that somebody is who might be listening that they are hanging on to the scarcity mentality?
Yeah. So scarcity mentality means like there's not enough out there for you. Mm-hmm. So, and then of course, abundance is like to see the potential, like there's enough around you. These things will come. There's opportunities there. So like some questions that I've kind of asked myself over time to help me determine things is like, are you living paycheck to paycheck? Or what was your living situation? So that was a big thing that helped me understand like, oh, well, this mindset came from years of taking care of myself, mm-hmm. you know? So that's where my scarcity mindset came from. But, you know, do you feel like the amount of money you make at work is limited? That's a really good one. Like you're only worth a certain cap. Mm-hmm. Or are you afraid to spend money? That was another big one for me.
Where are you afraid to spend money?
Are you afraid to spend money?
Are you afraid to spend money? Because it'll be gone and then you're going to be out and miss.
Yeah. And like another great question was, what was it? Oh, do you feel like you have to constantly save for the next what if?
Yeah. There's always going to be something coming.
Yeah, exactly.
So how would somebody with an abundance mentality think of life's potential to throw them curveballs? Or would they not think about that at all?
Yeah. So, I mean,
I don't think it's a blind, these aren't, it's not blinders, obviously. But.
Yeah, exactly. I would say there's an awareness and like, you understand that those things are coming. So like the next what ifs are neutral and those things are going to happen. That's just a part of life. We all know that. But understanding that when those things happen, you will figure it out. You will make it happen. There will be opportunities for you to make sure that you're able to handle that money financially or whatever it might be.
It sounds like you've had that, you've had the confidence to face a lot of things that life has thrown at you from a very young age. Is that something that you think you had even before you were tested with some challenges, or that you've just grown into that that kind of personality?
I think I did have it before. It's just evolved naturally in different ways. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I've always been kind of like a go-getter or natural problem solver with things. So it just kind of changed over time based on what was happening.
And at this point, you're working with clients, helping them identify. Well, what's your end goal? What would you say your end goal is with the people you work with?
Yeah. So being a life coach, the end goal can change or it varies based on person to person. So I help my clients on all spectrums of their life. So their goal could be happiness or confidence. It could be creating a budget. It could be mental or physical health, careers, or finding a more fulfilling career or building better relationships. Mm-hmm. So no matter what the goal is for them, the biggest aspect that I do is I help them build those habits and create a pathway and take small actionable steps to reach those things that mean the most to them.
So are the tools or the resources or the support that you provide to your clients, are these, have you developed some formal tools for that?
Yeah, there's a lot of, I have some formal tools that I provide my clients, but the biggest aspect comes to the coaching piece where basically I meet up with my clients on a weekly basis and we have conversations, and around those conversations, there may be awareness aspects where we work on managing their mindset or their thought process. Like, for example, around money, that's mm-hmm. a great example, scarcity versus abundance. We can work on their limiting beliefs, changing new thought patterns. If they need help with things, like I could potentially provide small educational lessons, especially when it comes to finances. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, every time that I work with clients, they have some sort of small takeaway action. And that's something that's can blend into their day-to-day life. So if a goal of theirs is to, let's just say, you know, improve their communication at work. Mm-hmm. One of their takeaways would be to have a particular conversation at work with a coworker, mm-hmm. or to go do something that makes them feel uncomfortable. It could vary based on what they're looking at, but it blends into their life to help them still continue to move forward while handling the day-to-day aspects.
Right. Do you ever stop and think, you're doing something with others that you benefited from growing up from mentors of your own?
I'm sorry, repeat the question.
Do you see yourself in a role, do you ever stop and just kind of appreciate where you're at now working with others in a role that maybe there were mentors in your own life as you were growing up, working or at school or after school, that you're in that same role as well with others?
Yeah, I love it. And when I think back and reflect on those things, I really am. I'm so grateful for everything that's happened to me in my life. And I'm grateful for being able to help other people build better lives that they enjoy as well. And it truly is a passion of mine. And I just love it.
Is that attitude of that? Do you focus? Is that one of those things that you work on with people? Is the attitude of attitude of gratitude, sort of a thing?
Yeah, definitely. That's, I would say, like the mindset stuff. So we all have our own thoughts and opinions when it comes to money, happiness, what's going on in your life, like how you think things are in your life. Mm-hmm. So a big component of that is working on those thoughts and that kind of going back to the scarcity and abundance mindset, having that thought of realizing like there are things that are coming, opportunities will present itself to me, mm-hmm. Versus thinking like, this sucks. I can't pay this bill. This one's going to be late. It's just really flipping their mindset to something a little bit more beneficial. And I don't mean by like toxic positivity, like, with the blinders on that everything's going to be perfect and you don't have to worry about it, but being more realistic with things and being more compassionate with yourself where you're able to move through life and be okay. Naturally as humans, we are very negative and talk down to ourselves a lot.
So easy.
And flipping that script can just improve the entire trajectory of your life and like how you see yourself and how you show up in the world. And, there are times where people are like, I really like that person's energy, or, they can feel this energy, but they don't know how to describe it. And that's them showing up, in certain ways.
And I imagine it can be, I've just come to mind where you said one way of looking at a situation, I can't pay this bill, versus just simply saying, how am I going to pay this bill? Is it that simple?
Absolutely. And, of course you got to watch your response to that, but it's just flipping that right. In just a slight way, or like, everything's going wrong right now, to just moving that to, I'm going through a difficult time right now, or this is difficult, but I can handle it. Just that small transition where it's not just so negative, but it also shows the opportunity or hopefulness or confidence. Like, you can handle it. You've been through everything else in your life. You can still handle this. It's just one road bump.
Excellent. Nikki, how do you have one piece of advice, or maybe a gem that you've always appreciated throughout your life, personal finance wise, that you would like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah. So one habit that I've really developed in my personal finances is consistently checking in. And what I mean by that is, on a weekly basis, checking in with my finances, making sure things are coming in and coming out. Mm-hmm. And it sounds very basic, but the reason why I say that is because a lot of people tend to avoid. They'd rather swipe their card and look the other way. Mm-hmm. So just basic check-ins to see where your money's going and how you spend it is a wonderful tool to bring awareness and make sure you truly understand where your money's going, because a lot of times it can add up and we may not understand like how much is actually going to food or restaurants or something like that.
Yeah, I can appreciate that and have talked to many a class about tracking, how tracking your expenses is a really important reality check.
Yeah.
You can't manage what you don't know.
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Nikki, how can our listeners connect with you online, or where can they find you?
Yeah. So you can find me on my website, which is unleashedleadership.com. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, and it's the same, I don't know what they call it, tagline or whatever headline. Mm-hmm. It's Unleashed Leadership.
Okay. Very cool. I'll make sure to put those in our show notes for this episode and encourage my listeners to click on those and learn more about you. But awesome. Nikki Conrad Eberlin, please, I want to thank you for joining us today and sharing your story and your experiences with our listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
It's been great. For our listeners, thank you for also joining us today. And I do encourage you to check out our podcast at archives at moneyfit.org/podcast. Very simple. One other thing I ask of you, just click on that subscribe button or the like and or the like button so that we can help grow this podcast and get it out to other people who are in need of some of this great information. With that, I will say until the next time, please stay money fit and stay well.